On Before the Bestseller, we talk with our favorite authors about the books they wrote and the stories behind how those books made it big. I'm your host, Alex Straffy, and it's an absolute pleasure to have you here today. Dr. Ubel is back to talk about how she got her book in the hands of gatekeepers. It's something I often talk a lot about, and a handful of physicians fell in love with her book, a very small niche, specifically women physicians who focused on weight loss, and loved it so much, felt like she was talking directly to them, where when she launched her book, it was met with great success to the point where she's now sold over 20,000 copies of her book. And so that's why she is a great expert on the topic of book marketing, because she's done it herself. And so it is my pleasure to welcome Dr. Ubel.
Dr. Katrina Ubel, thank you for taking the time to come back on. Last time you walked us through your own revelations and what's worked for so many people. I mean, you talked about the in the book, the different success that people have had from women losing on average 19 pounds over 6 months, losing 9.6% of their body weight. For those of you that are interested, and also, you know, same mentality applies to men as well. You know, if you want to go back and check that out, that's in the last episode. This time we're going to talk all about the success of the book, because it is doing very well and should continue to do well. So that's where Dr. Ubel is kind enough to walk us through her book marketing. So welcome back.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
First question, roughly how many copies have you sold?
Oh my gosh. I should know that number, shouldn't I? I honestly don't even know. I don't look.
I know it's going to be at least 10,000.
I don't know.
It's going to be at least 10,000 or more from what I've seen. So I was just curious if you knew that off the top of your head.
You know what? I have not looked. Oh gosh. I want to say, I think it's close to 20,000 actually total.
Okay.
With audiobooks and stuff like that. But I'm not even sure. That just goes to show, like, the way I don't find it to be helpful to me personally to spend a lot of time focusing on those numbers.
As long as it's helping people, that's the...
Right. It's there. It's there for me to look at.
10,000 plus, maybe 20,000. So obviously it's a great success, because 90% of books don't sell more than 200 copies. So clearly you've done
something. Is that right? Oh my gosh.
So clearly you've done something right here. First of all, why, so that other people who are listening to this, who have their own ideas to write a book, can say, oh, that's similar to my reasoning. Why a book? You had this, you know, you had this successful program, your experiences. Why did you decide that a book was necessary?
Yeah. So I never thought I would write a book. I just want to be clear. I'm not someone who is always like, I've got a book in me, or like my dream would be a published author. Like, that was definitely not my perspective on this. And I really didn't think that I would ever write one. But what started happening was I had created this podcast, Weight Loss for Busy Physicians, and it really got a lot of traction with doctors, because it was for doctors who were struggling with their weight. And so looking on Apple Podcasts and seeing the reviews and things like that, what I started to notice were reviews from people saying, I'm not a doctor, but my doctor recommended this podcast. And it's really helped me and this and that and the other thing. Okay. And then more and more people reaching out going, hey, would you ever work with, you know, a veterinarian, a nurse practitioner, a teacher, like anybody who was not kind of the real specific narrow group of people that I was working with. And so over the course of time, I started thinking, you know, now I have literally hundreds of podcast episodes. Like, imagine if you were struggling with something really challenging in your life, and you've tried a bunch of things and none of it's worked. And your doctor goes, listen, Alex, I have got the solution for you. This is going to be amazing. You've never heard of this before. It's totally different. And you're like, so good. I cannot wait. Tell me, what is it? And your doctor says, all you have to do is listen to 250 podcast episodes. Right? You would just be like, are you kidding me right now? Is there no better way to gather this information? Like, where do I start? Which ones do I listen to first? What do I start applying to my life? Like, as I built up more and more episodes in the vault there, you know, I started realizing, like, this is a lot, and it's really helping people. Like, their doctors recommending this work is really helpful to them. They want this help. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to offer them, you know, at least just kind of the initial basics, how to get started in a succinct form? also, not everybody is an auditory learner. Not everybody likes to listen to podcasts. Some people, you know, are not super tech savvy. Like some people just prefer to have a book that they can refer back to again and again. And so I started thinking, you know, maybe a book really would make sense. Like I said last time, you know, my vision is to change the way the whole medical community approaches weight loss. Like maybe then if that's the case, it would be helpful to have it, you know, packaged in a format that would make it easy for people to access. And also, you know, even though the podcast was free, like it would be cool to have a book in the library that people could check out and stuff. So I started thinking about it and that's when I started going, you know what? I think I could get behind this. I could write a book probably, like reluctantly.
Yeah. It's not something you just wake up and casually do. How did you initially get doctors to hear about the podcast? You said doctors were recommending the podcast to their patients.
They were doing that on their own.
Yeah.
They were so excited to find something that was helpful for them that they were so happy to share. Early on, when I first started coaching, I remember talking individually to some clients, you know, particularly, you know, women physicians who were maybe OBGYNs or just had a lot of women in their practice, and how they were struggling with their own weight, but they felt like hypocrites, honestly, when their patients would come in and say, "Hey, I want to lose weight. What should I do?" And then they would recommend things like, you know, whatever, Jenny Craig, Weight Watchers, things like that. And they're like, "That didn't work for me, but here I am recommending this thing that I know doesn't work to them because I don't know what else to say."
Yeah.
You know, and feeling just so bad about all of it and so conflicted. So I think they were just like, "This is helping me, you know, check it out and see if it helps you." I don't think I ever made like a specific ask. I don't think I ever really asked people like, "Hey, recommend this to your patients."
Yeah. It was just, you made something so good, shared it with a couple people, couple gatekeepers, I guess you could call them. And then, the quality was there enough where people just started kind of growing it organically. What was the kind of the timeline that you saw with the organic growth on that?
I started the podcast in, let me think. I think the very beginning of 2017, January of 2017 is when that first started. And when I started that, I was still doing one-to-one coaching. And by the end of that year, I had overlapping groups. Like one group was 60 people in it. I mean, like it just really blew up really pretty quickly. And then I started, it was the end of 2019 is when I started going, you know what, I think a book is in my future. Like that's when I first sat down and created my own version of a proposal. Yeah. You know, and started working on that. So it was about 2.5 years later.
Any download numbers? So like, you know, when you hit end of 2019 and you're starting to think about writing the book, do you know sort of how many people were listening?
I mean, as you can tell, I'm not a big metric.
I figured that was going to be your answer, but I figured it was worth asking.
I have no idea. I think it was at least like a couple million. I think I was at 1 million at least at that point.
Yeah.
I think I was at that point.
A couple million downloads.
Yeah, not like a month total, I'm saying.
Yeah. and so it sounds like you know, I just love getting into the specifics. So if you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I'm sorry. I'm not one of those people that operates from like locking down those numbers in my memory.
It is all good. The groups that you're working in. So I'm assuming you were kind of introducing them to the podcast and stuff too, right?
Yeah, well, they were finding the podcast through just word of mouth. So word of mouth amongst doctors, I mean, word of mouth just in general is big, but word of mouth amongst, well, let's just say women physicians, because they're the ones who I really have focused my attention on. It really carries a lot of weight. So there's some large Facebook groups for women physicians. And like I had noticed even starting this podcast that people would come on there and say, "Listen, everyone, I found the best handbag. Look at all these amazing features. Here's the link for it. I don't get anything. I just want to share it because I love this thing so much." And that bag would be sold out immediately.
Yeah.
You know, or like, "I found this awesome shirt on Amazon. It's so great for work. You know, all these different size ranges, super flattering." Immediately, everybody goes in and buys that shirt, you know? So there's something to be said for like someone already has done the legwork for me and I trust their recommendation.
Yeah.
You know? And so I had this hunch that once some people started listening to this podcast, and got some value from it that they would be willing to share on these large platforms, because you can't promote yourself on there. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. And so at those times, I mean, I don't actually personally use Facebook anymore, but at the time I was in some of those groups. And so people would mention it. And then, I mean, it's kind of funny to think of now, but people would come in and go, how do you listen to a podcast? And then I would help them. I would like share some screenshots and like find it here and type this in and help them to find it. And so it was really just very organic in that way, you know, mm-hmm. just like really offering some great content that helps people. And then, you know, they want to share. They're just like, this is great. I want to tell people.
And focusing on a niche within a niche within a niche. So you're speaking directly to those people.
Yes. But interestingly, when you think of all those non-doctors who listen, they still can figure it out. You know, like I don't hold back from using, I don't use a ton of medical terminology just because it's not really relevant. Yeah. But I don't hold back, you know, I tell stories and things like that. And people are able to understand, like people will say, well, I'm not a doctor, but I'm a lawyer. But what you describe, I see, I know what that is in my life.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so I focus on such a narrow group of people, but other people could still see themselves in it. Yeah. And I didn't intend for that. That's just how it happened.
Well, we won't complain about that. How'd you come up with your title? How to Lose Weight for Last Time? I mean, it's cutting. It tells exactly what it is. You know, people struggle to find the perfect title, and I would call this a pretty perfect title. How did you come up with it?
Well, I at first wanted to call it How Doctors Lose Weight, because I thought that would be really compelling, that people would be like, wait, I want to know how doctors lose weight. You know, nobody seemed to like that title except me. So I was like, okay, we're not going to have that one. Well, I had done some sales webinars for like several times a year for several years to sell my flagship program. And I titled it How to Lose Weight for the Last Time or something along those lines. And that had really converted very well. And so I thought, you know, I wonder if we just use that, because that is really what they're learning here. And I felt like I could confidently deliver on that promise in the book. You know, like that, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know how sometimes you like read the cover and they're like, but that's not even what the book is really about. I was like, no, this is what this book is really about. And I really like a title that is very, very clear. I didn't want anything where people would look at it and then go like, what is this book about? I wanted them to look at it and go, oh, I know exactly what this book is about.
Yeah. And it's also just so clear with the promise, right? It's not just how to lose weight, but it's how to lose weight for the last time, which anyone who's been through the struggle of trying to lose it, you know, multiple times, or like you said, you know, not learning weight maintenance, I believe is what you call it in the book. You know, people that go back and forth with the issue, you know, it's a clear thing there. Give me a little bit of the timeline of your launch, you know, from what you remember, you know, what did you focus on when you launched the book, and what worked really well?
Yeah. I mean, you know, gosh, it's like a hindsight thing, which is why this podcast is so great. So I learned a ton. And so I think that the biggest thing with the launch was like, once I got the book deal, then it was like, okay, well, so when's this book going to come out? And then trying to position it at a time of year that would be good for, you know, book sales on weight loss, you know? So like summer is not really like the best time to do that. So you want to try to get some traction. Yeah. So it was New Year's was the big thing. But the interesting thing is that September is what I kind of call like a mother's new year, you know, because school is starting and a lot of women who, you know, have children in school, or even I think sometimes it just sort of feels to us like we're kind of, you know, especially if we have where we live, we have seasons and things. It's kind of like, okay, the weather's changing, you know, vacations are kind of, you know, winding down. We're sort of like buckling down for, you know, the next 9 months or so. And so I really like the idea of launching in September to get some interest, and then being able to right away do another push right at the new year. So I thought that even in terms of potentially like Amazon visibility and things like that, if it wasn't brand new in January, it might actually get better search results in January if it had already been having a few months of doing well. Yeah. So then it's like, okay, so if we want to do it in September, and the imprint that I'm with, that was their inaugural year. And so my agent really was excited about me being one of the inaugural titles. And so rather than like pushing it even further back. So it was kind of like, okay, that's September. And I think we sealed up the book deal maybe May of the year prior. So that was a real quick timeline. So I had to write the book. Yeah. Very quick timeline. Like now knowing what I know, I would not have done that because I just didn't know what I was getting myself into. Yeah. So the book was accepted by the publisher by the following January. And like final done. And while I was writing it, I really didn't want to spend a ton of time thinking about marketing. To be honest, the marketing part is more fun for me. And so I noticed myself early on having all these marketing ideas and then going, no, you need to stop thinking about that because you actually have to write a good book to then market. So focus on the book, write the book, and then you can think about marketing. So that was beneficial to me, you know, to a certain extent. But then I was, you know, realizing, oh my gosh, I do not have that much time to market this book. And I hadn't really put a whole lot of effort into figuring out how people do such things. Like I knew how to sell what I was already selling, but like, how do you sell a book? And so, so I ended up kind of doing something that like worked for me. I mean, there probably are people who are like, no, this is the right way. And I definitely worked with somebody where they can help you to get to be a USA Today bestseller and increase your chances of being on the New York Times list and like all these things. And I just started really thinking hard about that. Like those, I mean, and I'm not taking away from anybody who, you know, desires that or has achieved it at all, but like, it's a little bit of a vanity metric. You know, it's like, if you're a New York Times bestseller, you're going to tell everybody that you're a New York Times bestseller, you know? And I just realized that I didn't think that the people that I was helping cared about that. Like what they really cared about was, could this book help them? And the other stuff that wasn't really that relevant and the financial investment required to get closer to those metrics, it just was like, it just didn't seem like what I wanted to do. So we kind of looked at it in a multifactorial way. Like there were things that, you know, our team could do super well. There were things that the publisher, you know, they were going to handle that we didn't know how to do, like some of the PR type stuff and some of those connections. And then we did hire someone that I had actually met years prior before I even had an idea to write a book. And he and his team help people with various parts. They'll help you even write the book or things like that. I didn't.
Is that Carrie?
That was Carrie. Yeah. Carrie Oberbrunner. Yep. And so they really helped us with the kind of building the momentum around the launch and helping us with creating kind of like a core group of really, really strong fans, like people who are really big fans of my work to come and help spread the news, like right when the book came. And, you know, they created a community leading up to that, like an online community, things that, we, you know, my team, we did not have the capacity or the knowledge or the experience to do anything like that. And so that was really nice too. So I kind of felt like it was like we had three different groups who all excelled at different things, all working together, to try to give the book the best chance it could. And I think there comes a point, I would imagine for every author, but there definitely came a point for me where I just realized like, I cannot do everything. I can't even come close to doing everything. So I'm just going to have to pick what I'm going to do and what I have capacity for. And that's just going to have to be enough. So like I pitched myself to a whole bunch of podcast hosts, got on, you know, on lots and lots of different podcasts. And, you know, the PR person at the publisher, she worked at that too. But, you know, me pitching myself like actually worked better. So I did a lot myself that I could do. They, you know, did the things that they could do. And then I think it's just, it's really easy. And I feel you probably every single person you have on here says this, but you know, it's easy to think that the publisher is going to sell the book for you. And they really, really, really don't. That's really your job. And if you don't like, you know, presenting yourself in that way, it's going to be tough to get the word about the book out there because no one's going to believe in the book the way that you do and in the message, and no one's going to be able to convey, you know, the passion behind it or the energy behind it the way you can as an author.
Yeah, but you bring up a good point that it is hard when you are also the author. Usually you have, you know, you're a full-time in something, you know, related to the book. So, you know, you don't necessarily have time to become a full-time book marketing person. So I like the advice there of divide and conquer. Any specific tactics that any three of the groups employed that worked really, really well? The most copies?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that anytime I got on a podcast as a guest, that definitely moved the needle. What I would say is, you know, being a podcaster myself, you know, and having done the medium for so many years, I'm very comfortable with it. So it's not something that's like, I'm very nervous about. And I just want to recognize that not everybody feels that way. No. But I think that it's, you know, also being someone who is pitched to have guests come on my podcast, and I don't actually take on very many guests at all. It's always kind of interesting, you know, how people try to go about it. I'll just share what I think really worked well for me. When you're pitching someone to come on their podcast, you want to make you coming on as a guest as easy as humanly possible for that person. You know, like maybe there's someone who has guests all the time and they're used to that. Maybe they just have guests on occasion. Maybe they never even had a guest and you'll be their first guest. You never know. But when people come and they say, hey, could I come on and be a guest and talk about this to your people? Like, that's not very compelling. You know, like I don't really want to have a guest on my podcast that's going to make my life harder. Do you know what I mean? Like, you really want to let them know that you understand their audience. You want to maybe give them a couple different angles from the book or different topics that you could speak about. You don't want to be like, hey, can I come on and promote my book? Like, the answer is going to be no. Like, no, I don't want
it's
to do that.
It's helpful to you and you.
Yeah, exactly. But like, what's in it for them is what you need to be thinking. So if you're somebody who's podcasting weekly, like it's a lot, especially if you don't do seasons and you don't take breaks, it can actually be really nice. You're going on vacation. Hey, someone wants to be a guest. Oh my gosh, it's so nice. Now I can bank an extra one that I don't really have to do that much work for. So I don't have to come up with like more content every time, you know, come up with, you know, different talking points, why you think their audience would be interested in that, how it maybe, you know, meets up or meshes up with what they already do. Maybe have a look and see, have they had anybody on their podcast before who's got a similar topic? And if they do, then listen to that episode and then propose some things that are different, right? Because we don't want to repeat the same thing with a different person. So when you make it really easy for them and you're like, here are all the talking points. Just ask me these questions. Essentially kind of like, I'm going to carry the episode for you. Like that's a lot more compelling for people. I've had people on my podcast where I had no intention at first of saying yes to them, but then I'm like, wait a minute, actually that would really be interesting. And we haven't talked about that. And I don't feel confident in talking about that, but you do. So sure, let's do it. You know, like, why not? So, and then at the same time, you don't want to be super salesy when you're on the episode. Like you want to be there offering, you know, like you want to be offering a ton of value. Like I kind of think of it as offering so much value that you then promoting your book at the end is like, people are like, oh, great. Yeah. I've been wanting to know how I can hear more from you or how I can get more information about you. Like they're asking for it. Not like, oh, right, this is the part where there's the commercial or whatever, you know, I think that really, really helps. And it gets you more comfortable with the format. And I just think it's, you know, more fun to have a conversation like that when you're like, I'm so excited to make this really easy for you today and promote my book at the same time.
This is, you've made this so easy for me. So I appreciate that. This has
absolutely
been fantastic.
You're welcome.
We've been able to focus on lots of new things here. So for those listeners that are interested in your book, How to Lose Weight for the Last Time, what is the best way for them to get it?
You know, it's available anywhere books are sold, but of course, Amazon and Audible are probably going to be your best bets for that. And easily accessible there.
Amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time. Actually, one last question. I always get asked this as well. One thing that if you could go back, you would not spend your time or money doing marketing the book. You found it to be a complete waste of time and you can tell other authors, don't spend your time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I do have to say, I'm not 100% sure that I really gave it like the full go, like that it probably maybe deserved. So in hindsight, I'm like, I can't say that this didn't work. It just didn't work for me in the way that I did it. Yeah. And that was doing events. So the publisher had asked me early on, you know, do you want to host an event at your local bookstore? And I honestly did not even have the capacity to think about like how I was going to do that. It just felt like too much. And so by the time I thought about doing it, like I felt like I had capacity. The book had already been out for a few months. And apparently these bookstores who do these events, they've got a whole pipeline. And even though I was like a local author, it was basically like they didn't have space for me. So that was something that should have been thought about much earlier. I mean, I still wasn't like super excited about doing it. So I wasn't too upset about that. But then I also found out about like, you know, a local like street fair and they're like, oh, people come promote their books. I'm like, okay, I'll go and do that. Complete dud. I think I sold 2 or 3 copies sitting there for hours. You know, it was just, you know, that's not where people are buying books, particularly for my subject. So that's what I would just have to say, right? People aren't like seeing a book about weight loss and they're like, oh, I can't wait to go pick that book up. If anything, people maybe were like, okay, I'll go find that on Amazon later, you know, or something like that. Yeah. It was just like not a good use of time and resources and was honestly kind of felt a little demoralizing. It wasn't great.
It kind of sounds like how you approach weight loss, which is, you know, it needs to be dependent upon your book, the topic, who you're speaking to, where are they actually?
Things exactly. Like that. Yeah. Where are the people who are going to want to read your book and then go find them there? Because, you know, they're somewhere. You just have to find them.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Excited to continue to watch you do amazing things and excited to see when your book hits 1 million copies sold.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Alex. This is a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Yuval.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening. I know there's many other things you could have been doing during this time, and I hope you found this episode incredibly useful for you and your journey. And if you did, or if you have any feedback, I would love to hear that in a review on Apple. That would be fantastic, or anywhere else that you are listening to this show. So thank you. And if you're the type of listener that is also an author or looking to be an author soon, feel free to email me at alex@advancedamazonads.com. That's alex@advancedamazonads.com. And I'll add you to our weekly newsletter where I send out all of the best marketing tips I've ever heard from authors that I've had on this show and many of the authors that we work with. So I look forward to hearing from you if that's something you'd find useful. And either way, I look forward to having you back for our next episode.